The Vulnerable Hero Podcast begins now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the Vulnerable Hero Podcast. Today, I'm bringing you my very first guest on this podcast and someone I am honored to bring. His name is Blake Walker, and this man has totally and radically transformed his life within the past year, and I'm excited for him to share his story. And it is important to note, for those of you listening, even though Blake's a strapping man and just a stud, I'm going to say this, and it's not to take away from anything that he is. It's to say he looks just like you and me. You want to be able to pick Blake out of a crowd. That's an important, and I don't mean you want to recognize him. I guess what I'm saying is people that are hurting, you and I, men that need to learn vulnerability, aren't walking around with signs above their head saying, "I have a lot of pain." We mask it really well. We mask it with that old mask called perfectionism. And I am honored to bring Blake onto the show so he can share his story. And I 100% guarantee for every person listening, male or female, Blake's story will resonate with you in some way, shape, or form. So without further ado, Blake, my brother, thank you for joining the Vulnerable Hero Podcast.
How we doing?
Doing great, man. So, hey, let's get after it. Share with everyone listening how you and I first met.
All right. So about exactly a year ago, my wife and I were going through very, very tough times. She finally kind of had enough of not enough to her. Me holding back everything, never really to go in depth. And she flat out told me that I was not vulnerable. And it was time that I couldn't fake it anymore. I couldn't hide it anymore. I had to actually look deep down inside myself and realize that it's me that needs to make the change. Mm. And I got my headphones on, went to the gym, got on the treadmill, knew nothing, didn't know what to do, lost, first time ever, just like literally not knowing where to go. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get on this treadmill, I'm going to do some walking, typed in vulnerable. And Lucas, your podcast, The Vulnerable Hero, popped up first. And I started on your first podcast. And I remember listening to it and just going, what in the world is he talking about? I do not feel any of these things. Now, all the stuff that you were talking about, you know, hurt people, hurt, all that started coming back and just going, oh my gosh, this is me. This is something in the past has triggered me to be this way where I don't feel any of those things. The being vulnerable, I don't feel love. I don't feel, I feel this emptiness. Always trying to find something to fill that void daily, whatever it is, just daily grinding it out, trying to feel alive. And, so yeah, that's how I connected with you after that. After I watched your, listened to your podcast, I emailed you. I saw that you had retreats. And that was what I've never done. It's just something how you spoke. I felt a connection immediately. So I connected with you and filled out the Vulnerable Hero Retreat form. And then we had 3 months before the first time. So right. I had 3 months of trying to talk myself out of it. You know, just, but something, the way you spoke, and the way you talked was different from any other person I've ever met. And I went for it. And life changed.
Yeah, brother, you did go for it. You know, when I have guys, everyone has to apply to be part of the retreat, and some people just might not be good fits. I might not be the right fit for them. Some people might need outpatient treatment or a psychiatrist or, you know, whatever. I don't know. Sometimes. So we have people apply. And when I read your application, I pretty much knew, because I've been doing this for so long, my own journey of healing, but also before I started my own journey, I worked in ministry and staff of Young Life. I'd been doing a lot of different things throughout the years. And I knew, okay, I got a brother here who there's a lot to unpack. And as much as you want to share, you don't have to go into share as much as you feel comfortable with, but what was that like from the moment you applied and we had our call to you starting to unpack with the people closest to you, your wife, I don't know if it was your dad, but I know your mom, you shared with your mom. And what was that starting to unpack for the very first time like?
So when I first reached out, I thought it was to save my marriage, to be honest. I thought that when I would reach out to you and discuss everything that I've been going through and, you know, saying, you know, my wife's had an affair and I don't understand what being, you know, being a husband is. I have, my priorities are all wrong. I thought this was going to save my marriage. And so honestly, as I started to unfold things and started going back in the time, like, how has this happened? And honestly was something that I put stuffed away in a closet, mm-hmm. and I didn't really understand why it affected me down the road. But I mean, if we're going to do this, I had to finally come out and say it, that I was sexually abused, and I didn't know how much it was going to affect me later on down the road. I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't tell anybody. Mm. And, man, when I told you, just finally I got to tell somebody. I trusted you. I could tell that you wanted what was best for me, and you wanted to see me get past this and move on to start loving people, to give love, to receive love. And golly, that was just such a relief. Mm. And I didn't even know how the retreat was going to go. And yeah. I just told you this and I booked a flight. And so, man, that 3 months, I think, was also good in a way, because I had so much. I mean, we could talk for a long time. I mean, about everything that's unfolded, and also this process doesn't happen overnight. This process for me has taken a full year to finally really be free, sit back, take that big deep breath and kind of just exhale it. And
I want to honor you and not minimize, because, you know, you're telling me and we're talking, but you just shared. And
absolutely.
And that's powerful. And I think people listening, guys that may be in your shoes that have kind of tracked, because I know I have CEOs that listen to this, and it's interesting, the people that are listening to this podcast, the more that I meet them and I'm like, man, like, take the step, like, you could be free. And I shared this in a podcast. I don't know if it was a couple podcast episodes ago, but I said, there's some men, I want their freedom more than they want their freedom. And that just doesn't work. And I think for you, you were at the place where you wanted that freedom as much. You met me, or I met you, where you wanted your freedom. And I just acknowledge you for having the courage to share, but also to finally, for the first time in your life, say, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I want to heal. I want to, yes. I want to be loved. Like, I don't, who gives a shit what people think of us? Like, I was saying to my wife earlier this week, if the world hated me, if every single person hated me, but I was true to myself and I, okay, you know, like if I can sleep at night, but the world hates me, then so be it, you know? And I don't mean that I would do something to cause that hatred. I mean, I'm not looking for other people's approval. And that was such a huge step for you.
Absolutely. The last retreat that we went on was a huge milestone for me, because I got past when I stopped judging people, I didn't feel judged. And that was such a massive step. That's where I finally felt completely free. I wasn't trying to think, you know, compare. That's another thing. Compare. Yeah. I was seeing the person for who they were, and it allowed me to recognize that they see me for the person I am. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge, massive step. So like I said, a year-long process, but I finally got there. And when I dropped that, now I feel free to share my story to help other men, you know, other men that have never felt being vulnerable, never loved somebody, never felt the way that we should, that we want to be loved.
Right.
And to allow them to understand that being vulnerable is the strongest thing you could ever do.
That's right. That is power. You know, it's interesting. I think you and I, we share a lot of similar traumas and categories, and you know, just talking about that being loved in the moment, there's I'm going to share what I think and then give me your thoughts on this. But if we really were able to slow time down where it was like, we would be able to identify in those moments. We would be able to process like, oh, I'm experiencing, I really want to be loved, but I can't be touched, or I don't know how to connect. And then I feel broken, or something's wrong with me. I don't want to think about something's wrong with me. So I kick that thought out of my mind. Let me grab a drink. Let me watch TV. Let me numb out. Like if we could slow, like I think those thoughts, that process happens like in a split second. And that is, I think most men specifically are in that trap. If you slowed that nanosecond down, that whole process of thought takes place. Guys don't want to deal with it, check out, and then, you know, pornography, alcohol, you know, whatever form of substance that will numb them, media, golfing. I mean, I joke around, you know, the guys that come to the retreat, like I call golf a cult because, I mean, I've never said this publicly. It's funny, but that's just another form of, it's like a socially acceptable way of not being around your family. Like, oh, I got to get out with the guys. Like, no, what you're doing is escaping. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, I'm not knocking anything. I'm not judging anyone doing anything. But what I'm saying is, let's put honest narrative. You might really love it. But also, who is paying for the cost of you loving something that they are not receiving your love? You know, your wife, your family, your children, your whatever that is. And so I joke around. I hope everyone's like, well, I turned this podcast off. But whatever the form is, men specifically get trapped in wanting, we want to feel good. I think this is the fundamental premise. We want to feel good. We don't realize, right, though, that being vulnerable and going through the things we're most afraid of is how we feel good. Right? I mean, would you tell me your thoughts, you know, your perspective on what I just shared?
So I think most people would say that I am a driven person. I am busy. And really what it was is I was just staying busy, just not to do exactly what you were just saying, to escape everything. Luckily enough, I didn't use drugs to do that. I would escape by working out constantly. Even just being at the gym. It wasn't necessarily that I was working out for an hour. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that I was there for an hour. Like, do a workout in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I would take my time, or I would become, you know, the cream workaholic, you know, thinking that I had to work 12-hour days. But what it really was is I could have done my work in an 8-hour day, just like every, you know, 9-to-5 job. But the truth was, is I would just kind of just be slow in the morning and then act like I'm real busy and I don't have a, you know, to stay late is to not go home and not to do those, to be in those moments where I felt uncomfortable. I would use golf. I love playing golf, but you know what? It's things have changed, you know, like, I have a Camaro. If I don't go work on the Camaro, I don't go work on the Camaro now. Before it was like, I needed to these, you know, all day Saturday working on the car. All those were just filling the void, right. You know, it was another way of, especially like working out was another way of, you know, putting on that armor, putting on that mask, you know, if I looked fit, if I looked the right way, if I wore the right clothes, if I had my hair done right, all of those things for me were just massive facades. So that's how I dealt with that, to not be in that situation is to constantly not be there.
Right.
Which, be busy is what.
Sorry to interrupt you, brother, but I was saying, and there's a cost to that because you're not the only when, and here's, I think the whole crux of the issue men have when we don't deal with the pain, we are so consumed with feeling good or not. It's not even feeling good, not wanting to feel uncomfortable. it's the negative. It's avoiding the negative. It's not even seeking the positive. It's running from that negative. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be judged in my home. I don't want to be told, why don't I do something? I don't want to, you know, why don't you take the garbage? Why do I always have, it's that constant, like, what is, something's wrong. I'm going to avoid this. So we go do these things at the peril of these human beings that truly love us and want our love. Like your wife loves you. That's why she told you that, or she would have split a long time ago.
It's true.
That is the fact. Absolutely. No, you don't have chains at your, I've been at your house. There's no chains and barbed doors, barbed wire fences. You are a Texan living in the land of the free. So she loved you and your children who are precious and beautiful, just, man, they just want to be around you. And you know that now, but I'm saying it to every guy. It's when we are constantly obsessed with avoiding that uncomfortability that in our lives, it is at the peril of just sitting with our children and letting them put finger paint on, or, you know, paint our nails as men, like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to teach that. Like, bro, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just let them be kids and explore with you and have that wall down. And, you know, that's one example, but how has that been now that you're present, now that you're home, now that you're not obsessed with working out at the gym or being with the Camaro? Like, how has life transitioned for you?
So the kids are really, really smart. They pick up on everything that you do and they model it. And for me, I was very high stressed. I would raise my voice. I would use a lot of, you know, can't do this or don't do that. Just not allowing them to be kids, to be honest with you. Like, if they made a mess, I would freak out over what? Like, it was just, it's insane to think about it now. But that's the truth, is that I had to keep up this facade of a clean house or whatever it was. At that time, and the you know, it took a while when I got back from the first retreat, you know, just talking to them, just, you know, asking them about their day, you know, they would do what I would do. I would say, I don't want to talk about it, you know. It's and these, we're talking about 7-year-old and 4-year-old,
yeah,
and they would tell me it right back, and I had to stay calm and understand that they have their own fear of how I'm going to respond. And I put them in that position. And so it's taken a long time to kind of just chip away at it and get them to open up back and talk about their just simple things like that. Like literally tell me about your day. Yeah. And, but now, you know, I come in, daughter runs up, gives me a hug. My son's happy to see me. The house is so much stress free. You were just here last week. So, you know, it's they're smiling, they're happy. Let's go outside, let's play, let's ride bikes, whatever. Before all that, it was all about me. So I wouldn't allow myself to even allow them to do those things because I had to go do something. I couldn't be at the house. And so, my children have, obviously, changed drastically with, their moods as well. When they're upset, they calm down a lot easier now because we're calm. And it goes, you know, my wife has learned the same things too, where it's stress-free. It's a loving environment now, something that they want. And speaking to, you know, the lover environment, I had to figure out how my son wants to be loved, and I had to figure out how my daughter wants to be loved. And for my son, it might just be, hey, watch me play my Game Boy. Like, that's it. That's all he wants. He just wants me to watch him play his Game Boy. That's it. Like, I figured that out. And so I'll sit there and he'll play his Game Boy and he's just the happiest little boy. I just watch him play and just talk. And my daughter, you know, she just wants to be around me. That's it. Like, that's it. And so, just watching it, they're a blast. They're so much fun. They're loving. And, it's exciting. It's fun.
Brother, it's so good. Because I did have the privilege of meeting your beautiful wife and your beautiful children. I want to say this to the women that are listening and even to the guys. I mean, anyone listening, but specifically I want to speak to the women. Let's see. How do I want to say this? Well, I'll use me as an example. You have a beautiful wife. Beautiful wife. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful wife. But us not desiring to be around them had nothing to do with their beauty. Had nothing to do with them, had nothing to do with them. And I want women to hear that because there's so much guys that are having affairs, guys that are whatever. The women get the brunt. It's just the way it's sad, but they get the brunt of us as men not wanting to deal with the pain. So we avoid these beautiful, loving, tender-hearted women, but then the hearts get a little hard after a while, and then they, you know, that there's always the ripple effect from our actions. But what I want to tell women listening is if you're married and your husband is disassociating or not being there, know that it's not you. It's, you know, you have your role and you have your life and you know, I'm not saying that we don't bring things into relationship, but just know when a man is avoiding or checking out or staying away, it's because there's some deep, I 100% will say to every man listening, you have a deep rooted pain that you are unwilling to look at. And because you're unwilling to look at it and really detach from protecting whoever did it to you, what your identity is with it. It doesn't matter. Like, whatever that pain is, until you address it, man, the rest of the people in your life, you can run through 100 wives and still have the same result. You could adopt 1,000 children and still, you know, like, it's not the other person. It's truly us dealing with what's inside us to change the environment of those that we're around.
Absolutely. It just brings me back to thinking about when, you know, we were going through a rough stretch, and it took me a while to understand that I brought this to her, and it wasn't that, trying to think of how to put this, but because I never got the help that I needed. and we met and we got together. It's unfair for her that I didn't get that help. She's so much more further emotionally with her feelings and understanding all of this. She was there and I wasn't. And it's unfair for me. It's unfair that I didn't recognize that I needed the help, and the whole time I was just blaming her. Like I mean, I was a narcissist, like literally. Like when somebody told me the definition of a narcissist and went through it, I was like, yeah, that's all me. Like that's all me. And so it's very scary. It's a very scary thing when you start reading it and you start understanding it. And so it was unfair to put blame or you know, she didn't sign up for this. Okay, she signed up for who I am now, and I'm glad that she stayed for as long as she did, because you know, being associated with a narcissist for probably the whole relationship until, you know, we got back from first VH1, and I was actually understanding my feelings and got the pain out and started receiving love. And so yeah, I mean, the women, because she stayed for so long, just tells you how strong she is. Yeah. I mean, literally how strong she saw in me. And I think she knew she saw the good in me. I just needed some help.
That's good, man. I can imagine, because you can imagine, I'm sure, our conversation right now and the you before you found my podcast listening, like, what are these guys talking about? You know, and that's the beautiful thing about what I'm standing for, is bringing a different way to look at things. And it's not a religious narrative. It's not even the traditional emotional intelligence path and personal development. It's, I don't even know what I would call the retreats, but I would call them a sacred space where the soul can emerge. That's really, like, I saw your soul fully aligned back in your body. It felt safe enough to be, you felt safe enough to be back in your body. And that for me, if I died and that was it, that is the life well served, brother. That is that. Your life matters. One life matters, because one life impacts hundreds of lives and generations to come. And I just honor you, and I'm so thankful for you. And you know, you're a stud. If I saw you, you know, at the gym, be like, dude, that guy's, you know, you're cut. It's not, and that's the thing. It's not about the image. It's about the heart. It's about the soul. I talk so much about the soul, and really, I'm looking at my library. I have a book called Gravity. If anyone is looking for a good book, it's called Gravity. And that's where I first learned about the soul. And, I grew up in Christianity, never heard, I mean, I might've heard the word soul, like love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but no one ever talked what the soul was. And it wasn't till I really started learning in Judaism and studying with my rabbi friends that what the soul is, and the soul is our breath. It's the breath of God. It's the gift that we actually have to breathe in and breathe out. And our soul is that, you know, you say, you hear kind of, I did a podcast, I think one of the episodes, that we have the voice in our head and we have the voice in our heart, but then there's that gut voice, like, and that's the voice of the soul. It's that still small voice that kind of like flashes, and it's always gentle. It never beats us up. It never makes us feel terrible. And so to see guys, when I say liberate their souls, like, you know now what I'm talking about. Like, you can fully be you without anyone can judge you and say anything and hurtful. You're like, okay, I understand that you're a hurting person, but it has nothing to do with me. I love me. You know?
Yes.
And that's so beautiful. Talk about, without going into specifics of the exercises at the retreat, just I mean, that was a big step. I think guys, if they hear this and they're like, oh, maybe I'll sign up. It's a huge, I know it's a huge step. Like, wait, I'm paying for this. You know, it's not cheap, you know, cause where we stay is nice. And the time that just a lot of things are cool about the whole thing. But what was it like for you to actually boldly take that step and join other guys? You had no idea who they were.
Well, honestly, I was when I first joined yes, it is a cost because we do go stay in some of the most beautiful places up in Washington and we eat like kings.
Yes,
and we do eat like kings. And it wasn't about the cost of it. I would have figured out a way. I would have took out a loan to do it because I was so ready. I was so ready to share. I was 34 years old at the time. I was ready. I would have done anything. I would have walked there. And I got to share this because so when we got there, so I had never met Lucas and this is so awesome. So I'm waiting for him and he pulls up and I have this image of you and you get out and you're this 6'2", 3", 220 pound dude getting out and you just bear hug me. And I was scared. I was like, what did I just do? But you hugged me. You didn't, it was just, I look back at now and I was scared more than anything is what it was. I was scared and, but you hugged me and, you started to build that safe space, for me to allow myself to go deep and to open up. So, going back to going to the retreat, you know, driving, you know, in the mountains, stuff like that. I'd never been anything close to it. You bring us to this place and five other guys I don't know, and you start building these relationships and you start talking to each other and you realize that, golly, like these guys are just awesome dudes. Yeah. And they're just there for the same thing that I want. You know, I want my freedom. I want to feel loved. I want to receive love. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm not going to lie. It is a lot of work. Like we don't go there and hang out. No, we go there and work.
Yes.
And I love every minute of it. I don't sleep at all because things go, I'm wired. I'm writing. I'm constantly, you know, thinking about things in a different way now. I'm feeling different. And it's, you know, four or five days of just pure work. And I get home and I'm exhausted. I'm drained. But at the same time, I'm regenerated.
Rejuvenated.
You know, revitalized. Rejuvenated. So yeah. It's a cool, like, not cool. Not cool is not the right word. It's not only is it the best thing I've ever done with my life, but I want to go to every single one of them. Like because there's always more. There's always more. There's always more. You can go deeper. You can find more things to bring up. And every time you do that, you're just chipping away at that armor. And you're chipping away at the facade and you're just literally, I don't know if there's like a term for it or something, but you're being more vulnerable every single time. You got to keep going. There's no limit.
It's funny just hearing you say that. Cause I developed every exercise and everything that we're doing. So I just hear you say that. I laugh because that whole thing, I have that whole thing mapped out. You know, the only free time guys get is when there's meals being prepared. Mm-hmm. And so it just keeps ramping. But at the end, it's like, boom. And it is like,
yes,
freedom. And it's like a cannon shot. And man, I just, I don't know how to describe how. First of all, I'm really grateful that you, out of all the guys that came through that first group, you know, you went all the way. And I want to acknowledge you for that. And you are now making an impact wherever you go, you know, in your workplace. And I'm just so proud of you. And I don't even like that word proud, because it really doesn't, like, great. Oh, cool. You're proud of me. I don't know what the word is, but I'm.
I'll tell you what,
I'm in awe of you.
I admire all these guys that come and, yeah. And I have, some of the guys I've only seen, you know, 4 days some of them I've only seen 4 days, and some of them I've only seen them 8 days, and I've only literally been with them 8 days, and I feel like I've been with them like my whole life.
Yes.
Because we go so deep, and we go and, like, I know so much about one of the other dudes that you wouldn't believe. Like, if I told you I've only seen this guy 8 days, and I can tell you how this dude just is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just, this guy is an absolute stud. He is, and you also get to watch other people transform, and you get to, you know, we talk about the baby face and yes. And yeah. It's a true thing. That's a true thing.
Yeah.
You come out different.
What Blake's talking about is Blake had it. The guys have it. They come through. It's this, and this is where I was talking to someone. Oh, there is a spiritual component to, it's not that we physically can see pain, but you can see pain. You can see trauma on people. There's like a film or a filter over us. And when that stuff gets blown away physically, people look different. The guys look like little babies. It's really, I mean, I've been doing this so long, I'm even still blown away. Like, wow, I'm looking at you. I've been looking at you this whole weekend, but right now looking at you, you look like brand new baby. It's wild and it's beautiful. And, you know, I think people would die to have that experience, and they just don't, but they're dying not having that experience. You know what I mean? And that's why, you know, I'm going to start doing these live events around the country, and I talked about getting you on stage and sharing, like, this is a movement more than it's a come to a men's retreat weekend. This is a movement. I've always had the vision to have a generational, like, the third great awakening in America that trickles out throughout the world, of standing for people to heal. And it doesn't matter how ugly, how dark, how dirty, how scared, all the confusion, all the fears, like, man, I've gone through it. Let's stand and let's go. And I am a big dude, and I'm not like, hey, you know, let's play patty cake. I'm like, fucking like, get after it. Like, stop wasting time in your life. You don't know how much longer you have. Heal.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm so proud of you. I am. And, you know, to close, and I know this is not going to be our last episode together. We'll be doing a lot more of these. To the guy out there that's in your similar shoes before you and I met, you know, guys that listen to this podcast, they've heard me, but what do you want to tell them as if you were hosting this podcast? Like, what's the narrative? What's the message that those guys need to hear coming from you and not coming from me?
That if you're someone that thinks that the normal life is you go slave away at work and you come home and you just have the same groundhog day over and over and over and over again, that's not living. That's not life. That's not freedom. Something deep down that you have put away in a closet, like what I like to say, is there's something there, and your trauma doesn't have to be sexual abuse. It doesn't have to be, it can be as little as just being bullied. Mm-hmm. I mean, bullying is some of the most terrible trauma you can go through. It doesn't have to be any of those things. It can be whatever you think is little or whatever you think is big. It's your trauma, and you have to go through it to find your freedom. And when you realize that, and you come to this understanding that I want to be free. And when you say, I want to be, nobody can make you do it. This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be plugged in. You reach out. And I hope there's somebody out there listening to this podcast, and I'm there with you on a retreat. Truly do. I think it would be just the coolest thing. I mean, that's how I met Lucas. And it's really when you meet these guys, it is brothers for life.
Yes.
It truly is. I can call up one of my brothers right now and tell him, hey, I'm going through something rough. I need to get it out. I need to talk to you about it. And they would sit on the phone and listen to me, and I would do the same for them. Yeah. And so if there's a guy out there that's lost, confused is a big one, Lucas. Yes. I mean, that's a huge one. Confusion. It is confusing. The bad stuff, like just really, really like lost, or you even want to block it out. Mm-hmm. You got to get it out. That's your freedom. That is your freedom right there. So if there's somebody out there, let's do this. Let's get it.
Oh man, that's it. Confusion is so prevalent right now. People are confused, and you can mm-hmm. see it when you talk to people and you look at people, but when you get that clarity, that laser like clarity, and it's like, whoa, it's almost like plugging out of the matrix. So, you pop out and you're like, what the, wow. And mm-hmm. you really want to like help everyone else, like get out of the fog and courage. That's why I want to tell you, not that I'm proud of you so much, and every guy that's gone through, it takes courage. It's courageous. That's why I define yes. vulnerability as having the courage to experience love in a spirit form. You are courageous. And I did a podcast last week is the only way to feel proud of yourself is to be courageous. And that's why people lack self-love and self-worth, is because they're not walking in courage. You want to truly feel good about yourself. You don't have to do affirmations. You need to do things that you're afraid of and stand in that and like, wow, I did that. No one else did that. I didn't heal you. You only could heal you. But I created, you were courageous and met me where, I met you where you were at. And so that is what I want to share to every guy, every gal listening. Be courageous. And courage is acknowledging what we're afraid of and doing it anyway. That's absolutely courage. And that fires me up.
Absolutely. There's just one other thing. I went back early in the podcast and I was talking about how I thought this would save my marriage. This is not about saving somebody else. This is about saving yourself. And if you have to have the intentions of what you're trying to accomplish, and it is to save yourself. That is literally what you have to do. I just want to make sure that's out there, that this is for you and only for you. I think that it took me a little bit to kind of figure that out. Like this is not about somebody else. This is about me.
Yeah.
And so be selfish with it. Get it out.
Yeah, that's right. I used to think it was morally evil. I would talk about it. I led Bible studies every single week for years. I've done a lot of different things, lived a lot of different lives. And I would talk about the moral evil and relativity of flying on an airplane and saying for them to say, put the life, the air mask or the airbag on you first and then on a child. And I was like, that is so, that's what's wrong with our society, you know, blah, blah, blah. And as I've gone through this work and the emotional intelligence and not even, I don't like that term. As I've gone through my path of healing and my journey of healing, one of the things I did was go to an emotional intelligence training. And it was down there that I realized, say hypothetically, I'm flying with my daughter in a plane. And it's a commercial airline, plane's full. And I put my mask on her. The plane goes down. I put my mask on her. And the plane crashes. And she survives. I'm dead. And another dad with his kids take my daughter and walk them to an ambulance. And my daughter says to the little girl, why is your dad still alive? And the little girl says, well, my dad put the mask on himself and then he put it on us. And that my daughter would say, why didn't my dad love me enough to put the mask on himself? When I, they didn't teach that. This is what I like came to this realization that if we really want to love people, it starts with loving ourselves. And that is not contradicting. That is, I cannot fully love someone until I fully love myself. And so that is such a great way to end is, you know, I think that that visual is, why didn't my dad love me enough to put the mask on himself? And
absolutely.
So let's put the masks on ourselves and let's spread the word that to truly love others, we got to love ourselves first, brother. So
let's do it.
Thank you for joining. Everyone listening, it's such an honor having Blake on. And you, if you go to my site, you see him in the videos. He's a vulnerable hero. He truly is a vulnerable hero. You heard his story just sharing. And I know a lot of you listening have stories similar. And wherever you are, like Blake said, maybe you were bullied, maybe whatever the spectrum is, whatever caused you pain, whatever caused you pain, you get to process that. You get to heal. What would life look like if you are truly free, like the little child that you once were, just climbing, asking questions, being curious, always asking why, just being in the moment, having fun and living. And you can, that's always been you. That's never not been you. We have swallowed these societal lies that said, you know, prior to this age, you were this, and from this age to this age, and your amygdala isn't fully developed until the age of 25. And while those things may be so, or your prefrontal cortex, you know, wasn't developed, while those things may be so, your soul has always been your soul. And that is the pure joy and essence of living in the moment, being free, receiving love fully and giving love fully, and not allowing other people's judgment, shame, guilt, opinions, snide comments, manipulation, whatever, to affect you, because you can stand in your own power and your own vulnerability. So if this speaks to you, join and look forward to many, many, many more episodes with Blake and other guys that come through the retreat. Maybe we'll do a whole bunch of guys in one episode. But thank you for listening to this very first episode with the guests on the Vulnerable Hero Podcast. My name is Lucas Mack, where I define vulnerability as having the courage to experience love in its purest form. And I'll talk to you on the next episode.